The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a comedy podcast. I hope you want to have some laughs. You came to the right place. It's about internet reviews. I hope you know what the internet is.
You better.
You better. Because pretty soon, they're just going to be, you know, kind of taking people out, if you know what I mean, if they don't know what the internet is. If you get an anonymous survey or a survey from the government that just... do you know what the internet is? It's a big page, and it sort of has a yes/no checkbox, like a secret admirer handing you a note.
Yeah.
Make sure you say yes. I know what the internet is.
It might seem inconspicuous at first, but little do you know, Joe Pantoliano is somewhere in the background, just waiting to unplug you.
Yep, got that red. If you would look, if you could only look at your own forehead, you would see a red dot on it as you got your mail. And you're not getting married in India, is, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm trying to say.
You're going to get iced.
Trying to say that you're a baseball player with some muscle injuries who's got to take a little ice bath. What I'm trying to say is you're going to kick the bucket. And I'm not trying to say that you're a kid from the 1950s playing around with the neighborhood.
Saying we're going to take you out.
Not talking about the dinner. Yeah. Ooh. But yeah, the internet, reviews from the internet, Amazon, Google reviews.
They are out there.
They're out there. They're uncouth. They're funny. They're ridiculous. They're written by people of varying intelligence.
Written by a jury of your peers, as it were.
I was going to say I would love to be reviewed by a jury of my peers. Then I realized that's just what...
That's just court.
That's just going to work.
Or there's that. That's, the less stressful version.
I know. That's what I don't want to. Ugh, people at work are looking at me. Ugh. Bosses making judgment.
Judgment on my Halloween costume.
Halloween. I didn't wear a Halloween costume when I worked on Halloween, but maybe I should have.
It comes once a year, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I have a review.
Let me hear that review.
Oh, start a rare IMDb starter.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to start with this one, but it begged for my mouse to click on it. It was sitting there begging. This is a review for Over the Garden Wall for IMDb. Over the Garden Wall is a Cartoon Network produced mini series with a big fall vibes, is why I was thinking of it.
Yes.
It was featuring the voice talent of Christopher Lloyd and Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very fun little series. I was thinking about this and I really wanted to. I was like, that's the perfect fall vibe show. I want it on our podcast during this fall vibe times. But with things you care about, I'm sure you understand this, it's so hard to find a funny review because most of them for Over the Garden Wall are just straightforward, just good reviews of the good show.
Just
right?
Gushing, yeah.
Yeah, nothing very funny about someone just telling the truth.
So great, talented, yes, excellent writing, story composition. Mm.
Or they say a bunch of stupid shit that you just want to argue with. I just want to, and I know that's not the funniest all the time.
Right.
So
sometimes
that you sprinkle a little, get mad, but it's something as niche as Over the Garden Wall. You know, I want it to be a little more accessible. All that being said, I think I found one with some silly points for us to pick out.
Okay.
This is a review by Lawn Car Christina.
Okay.
I think is what's going on there. And they title it "An Unusually Good Cartoon from Cartoon Network."
Ooh.
They write, "So short, yet so full with story. wittiness and character development that is fascinating. I'm not a fan of kids' shows. However, I kept watching to see how Wart and Beatrice's relationship would develop, and I wasn't disappointed. The story isn't at all bright and shiny. Sometimes it's even seemed a bit too dark for a children's show, but the humor managed to maintain a nice balance in between. Nothing is forced, yet nothing seems to be missing in the end, and with a slight dash of Beatrice's sarcasm just to round it all up. It's a kid's show, so due to the kiddish elements and some inconveniences in the story, I won't give a higher rating. But all in all, well done, Cartoon Network. 7 out of 10.
Right, we're on IMDb. Okay.
7 doesn't mean 2 above the best. 7 means painfully average, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, me as a mature adult who only participates in mature adult things.
Oh, my goodness.
I usually, you know, the episodes of these are like, I think, 11 minutes.
They're short, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like 10, 11-minute episodes or something. You know, usually I spend my 10 to 11 minutes at a time looking at fine art. You know, I was just watching Mona Lisa for a good 20 minutes the other night because I'm a mature adult.
How significant.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when people put ravioli on the paintings, I was shocked.
Hey, don't you throw Chef Boyardee at that. That was painted by a Dutchman, you hear?
It's like you were in the room, Matt. That is exactly what I said, because I'm a mature adult. And I don't like kiddish things like these cartoons.
Just because it is a cartoon, we know this. We know this. We don't need to argue this. Just because it's a cartoon doesn't mean it's for kids.
Sure.
It's just a medium. It's like oil pastels or charcoal pencils. It's just a different form for creation.
Yeah, try showing a kid Aeon Flux, that MTV sci-fi action cartoon. They'll just be like, this is boring.
What's that? That heavy metal. Try showing a kid heavy metal.
Oh, Metalopolyx? Metalocalypse? Is that what you're talking about?
Heavy metal's the one that's like, it's a rock and roll cartoon, but there's a lady with big old boobies. There's that one, but Metalocalypse,
right now.
That's a
the heavy metal. Oh, right, it's that old 80s animation.
That old don't let mom see the naughty parts.
Yeah, it's just like D&D pinup girl the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously not for kids,
right? I think Akira definitely has Akira, the Japanese biker movie we talked about recently, definitely has a lead pipe to a skull in the first 10 minutes of the runtime.
So that
with that being established,
it's just a shame that sure, it's on Cartoon Network, which I guess we would have to define as a children's network for the most part. But this was aired as a special, like, nighttime series.
Special nighttime. I think it would probably, like, an 8 o'clock runtime.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also have to consider Cartoon Network also pioneered Western adult animation with Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
They did what Fox could not, and they made Family Guy a household name, a mecca of comedy media. Not to mention Space Ghost Coast to Coast being funny as hell. Which predates Over the Garden Wall quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a recent treat that we cartoon connoisseurs have gotten.
All right, let me hit you with this, Matt, before we move on.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had any inconveniences in a story that made you drop it off in quality? What could an inconvenience in the story be? For where I come from, a story needs some inconveniences for the characters in order for things to happen.
Yeah, like who's being inconvenienced? The characters or you as the consumer of whatever it is? I know there have been story beats that I haven't agreed with.
Sure.
In things, but
would you call it inconvenient?
No, I'd be like, this is dumb. Should have done it another way, please.
Man, in Batman versus Superman, when Batman and Superman decided to be friends instead of enemies because their mom had the same name, that was pretty inconvenient, wasn't it?
Inconvenient. You know? I was hoping for more action and lightness and brightness.
Lightness and Brightness.
They're based off of old, like, postcards from the 1800s.
Mm.
Old iconography, muted tones.
I dare say that this show is art.
It is.
It's it is. And
so good.
To put a book into this, I think the reviewer was a little intimidated that there was a cartoon with some things in it that were over their very mature heads.
Over their garden wall.
Do you have a review?
I do. I have a review that was sent to me by my dear friend Irina, with whom I have acted and learned how to fence in like 10 minutes.
The old 10-minute fence.
The old 10-minute don't hit her in the face now. Don't hit her in the face. Yeah. This is a review from Madewell.com. You're going to say, what's Madewell? Well, it looks like it's a brand of at least shoes, maybe other clothes that are made well.
Mm, I would hope so.
This is a review for the Kickoff Trainer sneakers in neutral color block leather. Some chunky sneakers that, you know, people like to wear nowadays. It's not looking for a low profile. These aren't flats by any means. They're some chunky sneakers. This review comes to us from Maddie08, hailing from Sunnyvale, California. Hey, Maddie. Maddie purchases a size 10, usually wears 9.5, overall fit true to size, width true to size. Maddie titles her review, Life-Changing Shoes, and writes, "These shoes changed my life. Looking back on it all, I guess it was the height difference that initiated the series of events that would permanently alter the way I interacted with the world around me. I put them on and gained 2 inches. People started mistaking me for 5'9 rather than 5'6.
Wow.
My walk felt different. My walk was different. I felt stylish. I felt understood. I started walking more. I lost the weight. I began buying healthier foods. I gained confidence. Before I knew it, I was shaving 10 minutes off of Google Maps estimates for walking time. I shed my insecurities and became a kinder person. I bought a standing desk. I made new friends. I switched to Chrome and organized my bookmarks. I found that once I knew I could rely on the shoes, I stopped relying on others to make me happy. I achieved self-actualization, and then, I don't mean to be dramatic, I achieved transcendence. In summary, I would lightly recommend them. I'm usually 9.5, but the 10s fit fine. 5 stars.
Are we assuming that this reviewer has access to irony? Are they being tongue-in-cheek? I would hate to rail against this reviewer if they were goofing.
I do believe, I don't have, you know, visual confirmation, but sure. I think the tongue was in the cheek.
The tongue was in the cheek
at time of publication.
Okay, the tongue was firmly planted within the cheek during typing. That's good. That's good. Then that's a very funny review, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think I honestly just at the end there, in summary, I would lightly recommend them.
Yeah, that's the confirmation. It's like, hey, these are all right, actually.
They're shoes, they fit fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're chunky, they make me taller.
Has there ever been a purchase that you've made that you felt affected your life so greatly in that this sort of way? I'm trying
that
to
that I transcended.
Yeah, that means you transcend reality at the end of the day.
I wish I had something ready to fire.
Something that really changed my life. This is just, it probably wouldn't be at the top of the list of life-changing purchases I've made, but this is just the one that came into my mind. So I have a problem with pajama pants, right?
Okay.
When I wear pajama pants, my knees get too hot. And I don't know if that might sound crazy to some people, but I'm sure there's some people out there that just did the fucking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio point at the screen
they're
thing.
They're feverishly nodding.
Yes, they're like, thank God someone else has got hot knees. One time I saw some pajama pants that were cut as though shorts.
Uh-huh.
They did a drape slightly below the knee in a very sort of casual pajama panty
mm-hmm.
sort of way.
A cush, a comf.
Mm-hmm. But the draft, close enough that the draft had free access to the knees. And just... while sleeping, just a slight hike to the pants would free the knee for all intents and purposes, leaving the rest of my above knee situation cozy and comfy while my knees were free to breathe. So that the ripple effect of that purchase, you know,
sure,
sleeping
yeah.
better, less tossing and turning, less knee sweat, really improved my life.
If we're going to go for items of clothing, I guess I could go to a recent stage production I was in. It's not even my item of clothing, but you know, sometimes the right piece of clothing can make you feel a certain way. And when you're trying to portray a character or several different characters in one show, different pieces of clothing help you achieve that. And in this case, it was the Lightning Thief musical, Percy Jackson, that one.
The one about the boys, the children that are Greek god children.
Descendants. They are half-bloods. They are demigods. I happen to be playing a full-blood god, two full-blooded gods, actually, Dionysus and Ares. But I want to talk about Ares and how he's supposed to be like a biker baddie.
Oh, okay.
And so my director got me this black jean jacket, which happened to be a women's black jean jacket. So when I went to put it on over my black tank top, like, this really is small and tiny, but wow, look at how my arms just explode out of it. I mean, I guess this makes me feel really powerful and like a hard ass.
And then you touched your ass and confirmed.
I confirmed that is hard.
A jacket so good it hardens your ass. That's great.
I had a Nerf foam baseball bat, the tight jean jacket, black tank top, black tight jeans. And some, like, black boot shoes, whatever you want to call them. And I just strutted like an arrogant prick. And I was like, this feels great. I transcended humble yes. Matt and became just the cock of the walk.
What I'm getting from that story, my takeaway, is bullying would cease across the nation if we just got bullies better clothes. This got some clothes that fit.
Yeah, that's why they're so angry all the time. Their arms are squeezed.
Yeah, a perpetual wedge situation may be happening. But that would make me grumpy. I would bully some people if I had a wedgie all day or something.
Tweak that thing out. Come on.
Get this boy some boxer briefs. Quit shoving little Steve into the locker. I have a review that will help us transcend our human form.
Oh, boy.
As we much like to do. I am bringing back... I'm so glad that this has become a staple. I'm making it a staple on reviewparty.com. It is, that's right, a shifter romance story. We got... Boss of the Secret Wolf, small town shifter romance, parenthetical shifter wolves of the Pleasant Valley, and parenthetical Kindle edition. This one's by Serena Meadows. This review on Amazon, as is tradition, I will send Matt a little screen cap of the cover here, and he can describe this lovely shifter romance novel cover. For the audience.
Oh, so very green. So, what we have on this book cover is a man who seems so absolutely shredded. You can see his back from the front.
You can see it from the front. Wait till you see it from the back.
He's got such big back muscles. They are like creeping up around him underneath the pecs.
Right. It looks like there's a sort of a second set of titties creeping out behind the titties. Turns out it's just his thick back muscles.
Naturally, he is shirtless. He is oiled. He is hairless, except for the scruff on his face and his clean, buzzed head. He has a tattoo of a howling wolf on his left pectoral, in case you needed the extra indicator that he is a wolf man. Also, there just happens to be a howling white wolf in the background behind him. And then there's just a lot of green fire and some foliage behind him, also very green.
Yeah, I'm getting either he's Irish or he smokes a lot of pot. That's sort of the vibe. And also, I'm noticing now the tattoo on his chest looks like, and Matt can back me up on this, a fruit roll-up tattoo. Like a cheap tattoo you'd get with some candy.
I was trying to figure out the best way to describe that. It is. It's like what you'd get off of the fruit stripe gum.
Yeah, and just... you put it on your arm and lick it so the ink goes around your arm.
So simple line work. Looks awful.
Whoever made the cover definitely just Googled or like looked up in their little
transparent art vector PNG program.
Wolf tattoo. Anyway, from aptly named Karen Nastasio, we have a review, an Amazon review here, titled Price on Her Head.
Uh-oh.
Gotta take some deep breaths before this one because it is a mouthful with a lack of
punctuation.
Punctuation. This was a quick and enjoyable book, and I love the main character's banter. Was there real feelings that were between Charlie Montgomery as an investigator, reporter, and learns her uncle passed away, and she has inherited his newspaper, among other things, which has brought her to Pleasant Valley, and when she meets Adam, the acting editor, who she doesn't like, and they get into a huge fight, and he quits, and not long after Barber quits as well, now she knows what she needs to do, and she goes to Taylor, the lawyer, and tells him to sell everything off, and the townspeople are furious. First period of the review.
No.
When she rings her boss, he tells her that after her drug dealing story broke, the cartel has put a price on her head, and he thinks she should stay hidden until it all cools down. So she decides to stay and get the newspaper up and running, and goes to ask Adam for his help, and they make a deal, and everything is going well, until a strange man in town notices her and calls his boss, and he's told to bring her in. The strange man in town notices her and calls his boss, and he's told to bring her in. So we're sort of a dual perspective in that moment.
Okay.
That confused me. When she is attacked and taken, a wolf saves her life, and she knows that by looking at the wolf's eyes that it's Adam, and he is a shifter. She will expose Adam as a shifter, or what? She will keep his secret. And does she stay in a town in hope of a future with Adam, or go back to her old life? I have received a free copy of this book and involuntarily leaving a review. Four stars.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You are doing such a disservice to this author. Holy God. I was going to ask, do you think for someone to have read a book, they must also can you form a sentence? You had to imagine they'd be able to write what? Good Lord.
If there's something we could be, I was captivated by those sentences.
I was trapped up in the riptide, just being dragged out further and further.
The undercurrent was of those sentences was definitely drowning me.
That is insanity. Oh, but I love that she's like, ooh, a wolf saved me. I know its eyes say, fuck me. That's how she knows.
Oh,
he's got those sexy eyes.
A wolf with human eyes, I wouldn't be like, damn, Adam's sexy. I'd be like, what the fuck? Is that a fucking monstrosity? Jesus, I'd be so terrified. I think it's a chimera or something, some sort of science experiment. If I saw a wolf and recognize them as an acquaintance's eyes? I'm not studying my acquaintance's eyes that much, you know? And maybe it's just me kind of having a social anxiety a thing where I don't look in people's eyes enough or even at them when I'm talking to them enough. Uh-huh. That's something I'm working on. But even if I did a little more, I would not be like mental note, okay, Matt's eyes are kind of – they kind of got a periwinkle hue, and when he's angry, they sort of puff up a little. No, you're a great friend. In college, we spent lots of time together. I couldn't pick your eyes out of a lineup, bro. I apologize.
It reminds me of, full disclaimer, I'm sending you an image now for a movie that I have not seen. It's a remake of a film that I have seen and adore, titled The Shaggy Dog. In 2006, Tim Allen remade it. I don't know if this is actually from the movie or not, but it's The Shaggy
Dog. The dog with human eyes? Yeah, like,
I know in promo pictures they have Tim Allen's eyes on a dog, but that... that can't be. I hope that's not real.
It is terrifyingly uncanny. It reminds me of the Kevin Smith movie, The Walrus. Do you know about that movie?
I know about it. I haven't watched it, but
yeah, it's at least, for those who don't know, it's a.
See, that's legit. That ad is legit. Oh, I don't know that the first image is
that the ad. It kind of isn't as uncanny because it looks like it's sort of purposely floating above the dog's eyes. But the previous screenshot looks like a dog with human eyes, and it's awful.
But yes, Tusk, I'm aware
of. Yeah,
Tusk, of
that's
the creepiness.
What it's called. Yeah, it's a movie about a podcaster.
A podcaster
who interviews weird people. He goes to some small town. The interview he had set up fell through. He sees an ad about some weirdo who wants company. He says, I'll just go interview this weirdo. It'll, you know, I'll make lemons out of the lemonade or what, vice versa. And the guy captures him and through human experimentation starts to turn him into a walrus.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's just Jason Long in this walrus bodysuit with sort of a human face.
Yep.
Which is supposed to look uncanny because it's a dark horror comedy.
Yeah.
The Shaggy Dog is a movie for children. Raise the Woof this March. I'd be woofing right out of that theater. That's terrifying.
Yeah, Buzz, your girlfriend.
Anything more to say about this Shifter book?
There had to be something else. I don't know.
Okay, here's something. Here's a little logic jump. So Adam, it was easy to forget who Adam originally was.
Yeah.
By the time we get to the Wolf is Adam
Adam's
reveal.
The director?
The acting editor. Was the editor.
That's what I meant.
She took over, so she's his boss. He didn't like her, so he quit.
Okay.
And they get in a huge fight, and he quits. Can you imagine? I don't want anyone to die, right?
Right.
I think if a boss I hated was going to be hit by a bus or something and I had the opportunity to save their life, I think I would.
Okay.
Right? But
right.
Then I would not go on to have a romance novel story with them.
Probably
if
not.
That makes
sense. Yeah, like if
you're
scorned.
I would just be like, don't mention it. Please never talk to me again.
Yeah, I washed my hands of you. I'm gonna wash you right out of my hair, kind of deal.
I hate bosses, and out of bosses, I hated you more than most of them, so please leave me alone. I'm glad you're not dead. Goodbye forever.
Your human life has value, not much to me, but some people. So, okay, cool, thanks, bye.
Yeah, I studied that For Whom the Bell Tolls poem in college. I know that human life is valuable, even if you're a big, dumb fucking idiot.
We all live in a bubble town. That's what sort of thing.
Yeah, there's like four people in this town. One person dies. That is the economy is just going to be in shambles.
Yeah, there's Taylor the lawyer. There's Baker the barber.
Or Barber the baker.
I need to write more. It's NaNoWriMo. I should be creating things better than this. But I am a podcast. Look at that.
That's true.
You're doing fine, Matt.
Who needs to create art when you can create? You can talk to me for an hour. Okay, I think it's break time.
It is break time. Take a trip with me and tell me what you see. Staying out till the streetlights turn. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop,
and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewBuddy.com.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to Great Reviews in History Redux.
Ooh, Great Reviews in History Redux. Is this a segment, the first segment mashup of ReviewParty.com?
I think it is.
I don't quote me on that, but I think it is.
Yeah, back when I, full disclosure, I wrote one blog, I started writing one blog last week, and then I decided, no, I want to make a Frankenstein blog. Because the Nosferatu blog does some business.
Sure.
On ReviewParty.com. I was like, yeah, Frankenstein, why not? It's topical. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the reviews, and I wanted to be able to quote specific passages, or at least screen cap. And right. I came across this other one of Frankenstein. Oh. This in this article, we hear from the man himself, which is pretty cool.
Frankenstein?
From Frank, well, from monster? Boris Karloff.
Okay.
Delineator of weird roles, Boris, yes. Karloff. This comes to us from the Woodward News Bulletin, April 1st, 1932. It was a Friday, for those of you asking.
Headache. I wasn't.
Most realistic fight scene in Frankenstein. With all of this furor about Frankenstein and his monster, the late Clare Briggs would undoubtedly have drawn one of his celebrated cartoons and entitled it, What Does a Monster Think About It? I can't draw a cartoon about it. This seems like an interview column. Mm. Unfortunately, the interviewer didn't list their name, but a bit of a jokester. I can't draw a cartoon about it, but at any rate, I had the advantage of an entree to a monster. So I decided to find out what this particular monster did think. Furthermore, the monster's habitation was quite in keeping with the traditions and legends which have been built up about Frankenstein's monster. He was carefully guarded, lest his very appearance take away his allure. Strange as it seems, a tremendous number of people get all excited by murder trials, ghastly accidents, sensational love crimes, and monstrosities of all sorts. This monstrosity was... Things haven't changed, have they?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this guy would freak out if he saw the Dahmer documentary and all the controversy over that being celebrating evil murderers.
True crime podcasts, all the everything.
That's true. How many billion-dollar industries like the crime podcast industry? It's huge.
Bizarrely huge.
Stinking Law and Order.
Yeah.
Crime porn. Anyway,
this monstrosity was to be kept behind closed doors until he could burst upon 10,000 screens all over the United States. His place of incarceration was the innermost makeup room of that same city of make-believe where the Hunchback of Notre Dame had growled. The Phantom of the Opera had sung his fatal role.
Aww.
Where Dracula had sunk into his last 500-year-old coffin. I know all of those references. I don't know this last one. And the terrifying claws of the cat, capitalized, had closed around the beautiful neck of the canary, capitalized.
Is that,
I'm guessing the cat and the canary must be a movie from the 1930s.
I know there's like a Japanese movie called The Cat or something, but that's, I think, way after this.
Yeah, I don't know. Universal City. As I approached his lair, tightly closed and heavily guarded, the ceremonies of admission offered a moment's pause for speculation. What was the proper etiquette in greeting an unborn monster? Would howdy-do be sufficient? Or would I have to have some charm, lest this inhuman villain spring upon me as I fumbled for the watchword and devour me? But monsters are full of surprises. one of the softest and best bred voices I ever listened to, bade his interviewer enter. Prepared as I was, this terrifying man-made mountain, the grotesque shape, the abnormal features completely submerged the identity of Boris Karloff. He was 7 feet tall. His lips were purplish red, almost black. The head was box-like, the top of it flat, and the hair growing out like the tonsure of a Japanese doll. The eyes were dead. All the flesh that showed was gray-green and blotchy and slashed all over with the surgical stitches and clamps, where he was obviously put together. For Frankenstein's monster was put together, you remember, by the ambitious, goaded, young Dr. Frankenstein, according to the legend and the story by Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley. Here was a human life created by a human being in a scientific laboratory, and Karloff was that creation. One certainly could not ask such a ghastly monstrosity as met my eyes any of the usual questions. As I fumbled for an introduction, the monster again came to the rescue. Continued on page 4. let me switch to page 4. Oh, trouble loading that image.
Oh, no!
You're going to ask me what I think of this fellow I'm playing, he correctly anticipated. Well, the intelligent will be more than simply frightened at his screams and dead eyes. They are going to sympathize with him. Sympathize? I gasped. Yes. There are scenes in this totally unusual Frankenstein that show an ugly little dwarf prodding and torturing this fellow before his scientifically instilled strength came to him fully. There are others that show his pathetic form slumped, and his face sorrowful, as a little girl, unafraid, gives him a handful of flowers. For the flash of a second, he forgets that his mission is to kill and destroy. He feels kindness and a spark of love for the first time in his hectic and brief life. Yes, Mr. Karloff, but our jails are full of desperate criminals who are known to have their fine moments occasionally. Do you seriously think that those kind flashes in your monster justify his wild strangling of doctors, brides, and children? He was asked. That is true of your criminals in your jails, he began. But Frankenstein isn't talking about them. Frankenstein concerns the creation of a man, his scientific creation. Fantastic, perhaps, but it makes you think. As man-made life came to him, he was beaten, tortured, frightened, and he murdered. Yet he might have been reared tenderly, and he might have spent a long, if artificial, life in healing his brother's ills, rather than a short life in destroying those brothers. Think of that. There is a lesson in Frankenstein's monster, he concluded, and motioned to an attendant to cover his face with a large white sheet that his strange contract with Universal required, so that none would know prematurely how he appeared. So, when you view Frankenstein at the Woodward, get out of the way, Rakuten Ann, Monday and Tuesday of next week, remember that its monster conceals the form of a brilliant Englishman, Boris Karloff, graduate of King's College and one of the capable minds of stage, screen, and literary circles. End of article.
This, man, they had that interview like the book ain't been out. For years and years and years. That interview, like, before that interview.
Yeah, old Boris there is just like, my dude.
He's like, dude, the whole movie's about how you're supposed to be sympathetic to the monster.
Ain't you know you're supposed to sympathize?
Ain't you know you're supposed to think that this guy has got a, you know, dealt a bad hand here?
Like, when you see him recoil in fear from fire that is prodded at his face.
By an angry mob.
By a hunchbacked assistant, and then, yes, by an angry mob.
Yeah, I think, you know, if an angry mob, if a whole town was just taking time out of their weekend to grab torches and pitchforks and give me a hard time, I might strangle a couple, 2, 3 of them.
I might be a little stressed out. I did actually just watch old Frankie for the first time this past week.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It holds up pretty well. There are some hokey moments, but and it's quick. It's like 70 minutes or so, if that. And for the most part, it moves quickly. It doesn't bother with with a whole lot of setting the scene.
It's sure.
It starts with a funeral, and Doc Frank and little are there just like, are they done yet? We got a body to steal.
It's not like peeking around the bushes. What's going on here?
Literally, they steal it. They dig up a body, and then they're walking home. They're like, oh, there's a hanging body there. Check that one out, too. And 5 minutes in, they're already stealing the brain. It's like, oh, my God. They're going for it.
They're already on the brain?
They're going ham. There's no,
hey, do we need a brain boss? They were there.
So you go over to the university, steal that brain. Make sure it's the good one, not the bad one. You drop the bad. You drop the good one. So it's the bad one. Oopsies.
I am looking at some the old Google images of Boris Karloff's Frankie, and that those practical effects be looking good.
That one of the things that scared me the most, honestly, towards the end, where the monster, they're trying to track him down, and Doc Frank has found him in the mountains. Sorry, spoiler alert for almost 100-year-old movie, but. The monster pushes him back when he has a torch, and like the actor lands with the torch under his legs. It's a lit torch, and he's just like, sure. Oh, let me lift my leg a little bit. Like, oh, dude, you're going to get scalded.
They are acting. They're in the moment. The method. Don't knock the method, bro. They should have gave Frankie a better barber. Really? Those bangs? The bangs, bro?
I am a noted bang skeptic.
Man bang. I'm not big on the man bangs.
Man bangs, for sure. You gotta have a special kind of face to pull that off.
Girl bangs? I can get behind nine times.
Girl bangs, sometimes. You gotta convince me.
Yeah, you're not there right away, are you?
I want to know what the other options could be. Maybe that's selfish of me. Like, oh, maybe a French, maybe a little flip, maybe. Oh.
You want to put this hypothetical new friend with bangs in a sort of Sims dress up
that's,
situation.
That's better. I was thinking of what's the name? Wooly Willy with the little magnet. Let's see what you look like if you do that. Oh yeah, little emo bangs. Yes. But Sims, yeah, Sims character creator is probably a bit more modern.
We're all about modern here, talking about this 100-year-old Carl movie.
I thought it was cool to hear from the actor himself. Be like, dude, people are going to like Frank. The smart ones, literally, the intelligent will be more than frightened. They're going to sympathize.
Right. They're going to be scared of him. And also, you know, that's the whole point of the movie. The beginning, you're scared of this monster. But, and, you know, these days, how many people watch horror movies for the villain? Who are really Chucky? People don't give a shit about that. The people are rooting for Chucky to stab some motherfuckers.
Killed those people.
And I'm pretty sure the new TV series, he's quite literally like an anti-hero in it.
Ooh.
An anti-hero who murders, you know, arguably innocent people, but an anti-hero all the same. Nightmare Before Christmas, before Freddy in the remake got retconned into being a pedophile. He was a dude who was making funny jokes with Johnny Depp.
Nightmare on Elm Street, but
what did I say?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Although Jack is kind of an anti-hero.
Hey, I would say if Frankenstein wasn't a sympathetic monster, we couldn't have Jack Skellington.
No, and we would be poorer for it.
Exactly. We couldn't have an entire village of relatable monsters to enjoy.
Jack's kind of selfish. He's aloof and distant.
Yeah, he's kind of a...
He's a kidnapper.
Sandy Claus.
But we love him.
Yeah, he's definitely a hothead. Not a hothead. He's a little full of himself, but he's the freaking president of Halloween. Got a hot zombie girlfriend. He's got a lot going for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, man, look at the time.
We are really gabbing this episode. Yeah. Luckily, I do have a short one. Yes, quite a short one. Keeping with the fall theme here, I got some review for some chili starter. That's right, from Amazon, Frontier All Natural Texas Chili Starter, 24-ounce pack of six.
A what?
So you put this at the bottom of a big old pot. You put water on it, and your chili is started.
All right.
Do you not know what chili starter is?
I mean, I've heard of like sourdough starter.
it's like a seasoning pack.
Okay, sure. Seasoning. Chili. All right.
It's like a pre-broth.
Like your taco spice mix. Okay.
Yeah, but for a soup. Cool. Next time you go to the grocery store, you're going to see them.
I'm going to see them like, oh, Jesus.
There's an entire section for these that I've never seen. But yeah, this was written by Carl J. Artman.
Carl.
And Carl titles it, Shh. Excellent chili. Guests always love it and ask for the recipe. I hide the empty jars of Frontera All Natural Texas Chili Starter under the other items in the recycling bin and tell them it's my secret recipe handed down from generation after generation. 5 stars.
Carl. You slick dog. You're a little paranoid, Carl.
I would be almost ashamed.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like I've been insulting my ancestors, saying that this was a secret recipe.
Yeah, you're gonna cause some infighting with the undead. Like, well, should you give Carl a recipe? I don't know about any recipe. What's he talking about?
I don't even like chili.
They're rolling in their graves, Carl.
And it's not like Carl, you know, the chili's just getting started with this little product here, right?
It's not like you're not doing work. You're cooking for your friends.
Mm-hmm. And you gotta, you know, you gotta brown the meat. I'm sure
you
there's
have
some,
to do a
some,
lot.
A lot of vegetables and beans added. The choice of noodle or no noodle. I think Texas chili is noodle-less.
Oh, okay, good.
No, good me.
You taste. You add some salt. You taste. You add some salt.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting in work. Is someone going to turn up their nose? Oh, what a wonderful pie. Wait a minute. Look in your recycling bin. I see a Pillsbury pre-made pie dough.
Yeah, who are these guests that are keeping a close eye on the recycle bin to make sure that no recipes were lied about?
This was a great bottle of wine, Carl. Let me put it in your recycling. And Carl's just like white knuckle on his thighs. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Or he would be if he didn't hide it at the bottom like an insane person.
Like a weird little raccoon.
Playing fucking reverse Tetris with these chili starter jars. Oh, boy. What a life they're
leading. Share it with them, Carl.
Yeah, just tell them that. It's Frontera chili starter.
You can do it yourself. They'll love you for that.
Maybe Carl's afraid.
This is the only thing I have. This is the only reason they come out.
The friends won't keep calling if it's not for the chili.
Why would they? I have nothing to offer if not chili.
Carl, I'm sure you're a wonderful person. Who
Carl has nothing to do for months out of the year, but when chili season comes up,
the phone starts jingling off the hook.
It's big Carl time.
Big Carl time. Carl, you know, I'm making sure Carl's a multifaceted man. He's got 10 reviews. I'm making sure they're not all for chili related products. Got some dog products reviews. Wow. A turntable, a vinyl turntable review.
Okay.
Likes vinyl.
Cool
a
guy.
Speed bag review. He boxes. Foo cool Fighters guy. Greatest hits. Nuff said. It's the Foo Fighters. It's their greatest hits. Drop the mic. 5 stars.
Carl, you're a total catch.
Carl, we love you. Hold on. All right, we're gonna end. Before we go into plugs, I'm gonna read his review for The Big Daddy, which is the shortest Amazon product name ever. The Big Daddy is one of those what would you call it? Those small rockets. I think of it as like a science experiment rocket.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a rocket. It's got the parachute in there. Kind of like those a rocket you would make for science class, but they already made it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even read the review. Model rocket. I just saw how crazy that product is, and that's how I bought it. Decals, he titles it. Great rocket, but the decals were frustrating. For something so simple, applying the decals took longer than building and painting the rocket. Looks like this rocket will fly with no advertising. Any hints?
Pull out a Sharpie.
4 stars. Yeah, who cares, bro?
You probably need to lick it like a fruit roll up tattoo.
Just lick your rocket. Just put it on there don't do it in front of the ladies, though, Carl. They might get the wrong idea. But do it in front of the boys. This has been ReviewParty.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Episode 100. Is this 125?
It is.
Wow.
A buck and a quarter.
We're halfway to the 250.
Wow.
The 250 mark. That's crazy. 100 was a big milestone, but 250 is a big, big one. That's the one that's always kind of floating around in my mind. Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast this week. If you made it this far, you are a real one. Congratulations. Capital O, R, capital O, real Hawone. We got new episodes of this bad boy, if you didn't know, every Tuesday morning. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. Isn't that cute? If you'd like to send us an absurd review for us to make some funnies over, please send an email with a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name so we can throw you some credit for it. Just like Arena. Thank you, Arena.
Thank you, Arena. Yeah, I mean, you want to reach out to us? You want to reach out to us on the sly? You can do that on the social media at reviewparty.com on Instagram and TikTok. We're at reviewpartypod on Twitter. You can send us anything. I don't care what it is. Send us something stupid. I don't care. I care about you, not your chili.
Carl needed to hear that really bad.
That was just for you, Carl. And hey, if you maybe need some you time, that's fine. We understand. You can go to reviewparty.com, lose yourself there for a few hours. There's a lot of stuff. There's all the episodes. There's all the blogs. There's all the listening platforms in case you want to like switch it up every single week. And there's the shop. Lose yourself there. Why don't you?
And hey, make sure you follow, subscribe, favorite, whatever the heck the button is under our podcast name, review. Wherever you listen to it. Click that button and then leave a review. Reviews on iTunes are especially helpful. Reviews on iTunes really juice the algorithm. And if you leave a 5-star review and it's funny and or wholesome, we will read it on the show. Podchaser is also a good place to go. Leave a review, fix our little busted busted average over on Podchaser. iTunes is still looking good. Still looking good, baby.
You mean?
And if you want something that sounds good while you're looking at stuff that looks good, why don't you listen to Nosebleeds? You've heard their jam, Bread for Breakfast, throughout the episode. They were kind enough to let us use it for our theme song. And you can find more great tunes just like it on Spotify. Search Nosebleeds, one word. It doesn't take Frankenstein to use a dictionary or something. There's a Frankenstein dumb people joke somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. This is a Amazon review for the album For Emma, Forever Go by Bon Iver. One of my favorite indie albums. Fall Vibes is why I'm bringing it. This review was written by Sean D. Kennedy. They title it Hauntingly Beautiful. They write, a decade on and this album still holds up. .. Wounds feel fresh.
Oh,
great album. 5 stars.
I get that stuff checked out, Sean.